I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You, a fond look at the animals we love to hate. Back in the summer, we paid a visit to the Robius Huguenot Farmers Market, taking questions from people that would drift in, and one of them that drifted in just happened to be our webmaster, Marshall Lloyd, and he was asking questions about photography.
I remember that.
How are you getting those great close-ups? I mean, what kind of equipment are you using?
Actually, there's a section in the back of the field guide on insect photography, and it talks about the very basics, but the trick is to make little things look big, and there's a couple things that you need to do that. First, you need lenses, a lens that will give you one-to-one magnification, so that's going to be starting a 100-millimeter macro lens is usually one way to start. You use a very small f-stop in order to get the greatest depth of field. But when the aperture is stopped down, you have to do two things. One, you've got to leave it open for a long time in order to get the proper exposure, which means you can't be wiggling around, so you put it on a tripod, but that doesn't make you very mobile. Insects are moving all the time, so the other thing is to have a good flash system. And I use a macro twin light on my Canon that clips right on the end of the lens.
I have a little bit of a background in photography, but my favorite camera these days is the one on my cell phone.
I think you're not alone. I like it. A lot of people use the cameras on their cell phones these days. The great thing about taking pictures of insects is you don't need big fancy equipment. You can use your telephone. More important thing is that you're going out there and you're seeing these animals for the first time and you're looking at them with a fresh eye, and that's when the magic starts to happen. Cell phones and point-and-shoot cameras take some incredible insect pictures. In fact, I know people that are using Scotch tape. They'll find a little lens somewhere and they'll tape it over the lens on their cell phone, and they're getting amazing pictures.
I'd spent probably a half an hour, maybe more, with a wheel bug.
Oh, it must have been one of the last wheel bugs of the season.
It was a cool morning and he was moving slow. He would climb onto a paintbrush that I had, allow me to place him on a crepe myrtle tree and set up shots, and he was my model.
You know, back in the old days shooting film, I used to take things into the camera shop for development, and one of the women behind the counter was very interested in seeing my insect pictures, and she started bringing in pictures that she had taken over the last several weeks, and I noticed there was a little bug nymph of some sort. It was an assassin bug, which is the same family as the wheel bug, and it had a bright red abdomen, and it was pointed straight up, and the rest of the body and the appendages were sort of dark charcoal. And I had no idea what these bugs would grow up into. I didn't recognize the nymphs. Well, she regularly showed me these nymphs as they developed, and that's when I discovered these are the nymphs of the wheel bug. And thanks to that connection I made at the camera store and her persistence in taking these wonderful photographs, I learned something about the life cycle of the wheel bug.
We'll post my wheel bug photograph online this week.
Let's do it.
If you'd like to find out more about photographing insects, even with the equipment that you have on hand, Dr. Art Evans has written the National Wildlife Federation Field Guide to Insects and Spiders of North America and What's Bugging You.
And if you'd like to post some of your photographs on my Facebook page, please feel free and I'll be happy to answer your insect photography questions.
You'll also find photos, audio, and a link to Art's blog at ideastations.org/radio/bugs.